So why do people like horror movies so much? Well, I don't know. I guess everyone has their different reasons. But I do know one thing. People that don't like horror movies are lame-os.
You are my density. You are my density.
And I'm just kidding, of course. I love all people, except terrible people. And so, yeah, welcome to part two of the Horror-a-thon, Horror-a-thon. And why do people love horror? I don't know. I think probably just the thrill, the excitement, but at the same time, you know you're safe. And I think actually people get smarter from watching horror movies because, like, you know, if you're walking down the street and you see someone with a hockey mask and a machete, you'll know, okay, maybe that person's probably evil. And you may only know that because you've seen Friday the 13th. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're all a little bit smarter from horror movies. So let's jump right into the movies with a bona fide classic from 1982, directed by John Carpenter, The Thing. It's got the great Kurt Russell. It's got Keith David in it, who is a African-American actor. And interestingly enough, David Keith is a white actor who was in Officer and Gentleman, also released in 1982 by Taylor Hackford. But I always get those mixed up. Keith David, David Keith. And Wilford Brimley, the amazing deceased Wilford Brimley, who famously said on the Quaker Oats commercial, "It's the right thing to do." But it's a great movie. It's about like an alien thing that invades this Antarctica base. And it's just, you know, you don't know who is who. You don't know who's going to, you know, change into the alien. Kind of like almost like Alien, the movie, where, you know, just you don't know which guy is infected or whatever. And there's just a great scene where this guy's head kind of splits off from his body and then his head turns upside down and like spider legs kind of pop out of the head and start walking around. And this one character just looks at it and he's like, "You've got to be fucking kidding me." It's just a great movie. Another amazing thriller, kind of horror from 1997 is Breakdown, directed by Jonathan Mostow, with Kurt Russell, Kathleen Quinlan, and the very amazing character actor, J.T. Walsh, who died several years ago. And Kurt Russell's car breaks down. These guys, you know, are there to help, but they end up taking his wife and he's got to fight back and find her. It's just great. It's pretty short, streamlined, and really fun to watch. And I actually saw Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn hiking off in Pacific Palisades several years ago. And they were kind of coming towards me and I was just like, "Oh my God, it's Kurt Russell." And I was, you know, staring at him, and I wanted to say, I should have said something. And I'm so obsessed with Big Trouble in Little China, but I just couldn't do it. And I was staring at both of them, and Goldie Hawn just kind of was like, "Hi." And then I was like, "Hello." And I always regretted not saying anything. And weirdly enough, like 6 months ago before I left LA, I was in an elevator with some other guy, and Goldie Hawn walks in, and I'm like, "Okay, God damn it. I'm going to talk to her." And I was like, "Hey, I saw you hiking like 10 years ago with your husband." And she was like, "Oh yeah, where?" And I was like, off Capri. And she's like, "Oh yeah, we used to love that hike." And I was like, "Okay, cool, cool." And then she left and I asked the guy in the elevator, I was like, "That's Goldie Hawn, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, I've known her for 20 years. And I was like, "Oh, well, who, you know, what do you do?" And he's like, "Oh, I've been on Days of Our Lives for forever." And he's like one of the main characters from the soap opera Days of Our Lives. Been on it like for 30 or so years. My mom used to watch Days of Our Lives, so I recognized him from that. And then my sister still watches it. And he was the coolest guy, totally had charisma. His name's Drake Hogeston. And I took his picture in the elevator, sent it to my sister. She was totally psyched. But yeah, he was totally awesome. And yeah, that was kind of a cool little elevator ride. There's one great one, Trick or Treat from 2007 by Michael Dougherty. It's so much fun. It's like set on Halloween in this little town, and it's kind of these interwoven stories that kind of link together. And there's this little dude with a jack-o'-lantern head that kind of walks around and kind of goes from story to story as well. It's got Anna Paquin and Brian Cox. It's just like little, you know, three or four short little tales of like killers and vampires, but it's totally fun. A lot of people really love it. It's kind of a modern day classic. But yeah, if for some reason you haven't seen that, definitely check it out. And another good one was a remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1993. It's called Body Snatchers. It's directed by the cuckoo Abel Ferrara, who's just done a bunch of nutty movies, Bad Lieutenant, Miss 45, King of New York. And it's a remake of Philip Kaufman's 1978 movie, which had Donald Sutherland. And that one's a little bit slower. It's still where that's worth watching the original, because it's like the ending is just incredible. The scene with Donald Sutherland will chill you to the core. Watch it just to watch the ending. But the 1993 version, it's set on like a military base. It's got Billy Worth and Gabriel Anwar, the very pretty Gabriel Anwar. And Forrest Whitaker is in it too, as like an amphetamine popping military guy who doesn't want to sleep because he's afraid he'll get like body snatched. But it's well done. It's pretty. It's like kind of a more mainstream Abel Ferrara. And usually his movies are kind of nutso, but this one is pretty restrained and pretty professionally done. And it kind of flew under the radar. I saw it in the theater, but it's totally worth checking out. I think it's rentable as well. And if you ever get a chance to see this play, 222. It's worth watching. I'm sure it'll be, you know, revived or whatever here and there. I saw it in 2022 in Los Angeles. It's written by Danny Robbins. It's kind of a ghost story. It's got these two couples that are meeting, and there's just something spooky that happened. You're not sure what. Something is happening every night at like 2:22 in the morning. There's a little kid involved, and you don't, you know, there's a big reveal at the end, which, you know, I guess if you're totally paying attention, you'll be like, okay, I could have seen that coming. But it still was like pretty impressive, I thought. It's not flawless or anything, but it's a fun watch. And speaking of ghost stories, Ghost Story from 1981, directed by John Irvin. It's older, obviously, but it's got just some old, great time actors. I mean, Fred Astaire, Melvin Douglas, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and John Houseman. It's like these old group of guys who, when they were younger, they did some kind of dastardly deed in their past, and it comes back to haunt them. And it's surprisingly spooky as hell. The ending is great. Craig Wasson is in it, who also was in Brian De Palma's Body Double from 1984 with Melanie Griffith. That's completely amazing. Totally fun. He's a kind of a two-bit actor who he meets another actor, and the guy's like, hey, stay at my place. I'm going out of town for a while. And it's this amazing house in Hollywood. It's actually called the Chemosphere. It was an architect was John Lautner. And it's like, it almost looks like a outer space ship just in the Hollywood Hills. And me and my friend JB, who has authorized me to name him as Buckley, his actual last name. So me and Buckley were driving around, possibly stoned, I don't remember, and we couldn't really find it. And then we started coming down this hill, and we're like, oh my God, it's right there. And it's just sitting there on it looks like it's on stilts, kind of. You got to look it up, the Chemosphere. But the movie is totally fun. Again, it's just, there's a bunch of Hitchcock-style stuff, and Brian De Palma is just, you know, God, he's just a master. And it's also got a memorable little scene with the band Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Their song, Relax. Relax, don't do it when you're gonna go through it. I don't know if that's the exact lyrics, but so it's totally fun and worth watching. And I find all roads lead us back to John Carpenter. From 1994, In the Mouth of Madness, Sam Neill plays like an insurance investigator trying to find this missing author whose books kind of cause people to lose their minds, and then he kind of loses it. And it is, kind of well-known, but again, a short little movie. Cool, you know, John Carpenter just brings it, you know, almost every time. Please check that out. A pretty cool older one from 1967. It's kind of a thriller. It was originally a stage play, and it's called Wait Until Dark. It's with Audrey Hepburn and Alan Arkin and Richard Crenna as these two crooks who are like trying to break into Audrey Hepburn's house, and she's blind, recently blind, and the lights go out, and then she kind of, you know, is able to turn the tables on them because she can move better in the dark and whatnot. It was originally, like I said, a stage play, and it's all one location. It's basically all one location, but it's kind of fun. I mean, it's. I kind of dig it. It's. You know, I don't know if many people talk about it these days, but I would check that out. And Richard Crenna famously was in Rambo: First Blood Part 2, as kind of Stallone's old, you know, commander or whatever. And I'll always remember the end of that movie when Richard Crenna asks Stallone, he's like, "What do you want?" And then Stallone's like, "For our country to love us as much as we love it. That's what I want. That's what I want." So pardon the horrible Stallone impersonation. A fairly recent one from 2022 is Sick, directed by John Hyams. It was co-written by the screenwriter Kevin Williamson. Kind of has a Scream vibe, especially ending when they reveal the killers. It's like very like Scream-ish, but it's like COVID era horror movie. You know, people are wearing masks throughout some of it. And a key plot point is a cell phone video that was taken. And it involves COVID. It's pretty cool. And the actually on that cell phone is the song playing by Erasure. It's a Little Respect from 1988. Which is a great song. And the movie's cool. It's totally worth watching. But the song is like, I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. Oh, baby, refrain from breaking my heart. And then a couple of John Cusack kind of horror movies. 1408 with Samuel Jackson. It's based on a story by Stephen King, directed by Mikael Hellström. He plays an author who like debunks paranormal activity, and he stays in this hotel room that kind of is run by Samuel Jackson, starts to lose it. Just weird shit starts happening. It's almost like he's hallucinating. He doesn't know what's happening, but it's great. Again, short. I love short movies. The ending really kind of pays off. It's kind of bittersweet. He had like a deceased daughter, and she kind of comes into play at the ending. I really loved it. I kind of rewatch it every once in a while. And I guess there was three other endings that were shot. At least a couple of them were like much bleaker. And but I don't know. I kind of dig this, the original ending. And then I think like a modern day classic from 2003 is Identity. Again, with John Cusack, it's got Ray Liotta, Amanda Peet, and Pruitt Taylor Vince, Jake Busey. It's directed by one of my favorites, James Mangold, who directed the superhero-ish movie Logan, which I'm just obsessed with, and I'll discuss in another point. But yeah, he is one of the directors these days that just really seems like he's a pro and knows what the hell he's doing. And this storm breaks out in the movie, and all these people end up at a motel, and one by one they're kind of picked off, and then they realize there's some really weird coincidence that brings them all together. And there's a major plot twist at the end, like what the hell actually is happening. And it's great. I mean, that's another one I love to just kind of watch every couple of years. And Pruitt Taylor Vince actually has this weird condition. It's called nystagmus. It's like where your eyes kind of just like move back and forth slowly. Like when there's close-ups of them, you'll see they just kind of jitter back and forth. And yeah, it kind of adds to the creepiness of his character. And while we're on the topic of nystagmus, which probably no one has ever said before in the world, Frank Langella also has that condition. And he was in a cool 1979 version of Dracula, directed by the previously mentioned John Badham. And kind of a horror-adjacent movie with Frank Langella is Richard Kelly's The Box from 2009. It's got James Marsden and Cameron Diaz, kind of Twilight Zone-ish. Frank Langella plays this character who's kind of like digitally missing part of his face. And he shows up at Cameron Diaz's house and he's like, here's this box. And, you know, if you push the button, you'll get $1 million the next day, but someone will die. And that's not someone you know. But and they're kind of having money troubles. So, you know, just check it out. It's kind of flew under the radar. Richard Kelly actually only did three movies. He did The Box. He did Donnie Darko, which was kind of his sensation. And then Southland Tales from 2007. It's just like cuckoo black comedy thriller with The Rock and Sarah Michelle Gellar. And it's just a nuclear attack and possible. And The Rock is a movie star. Sarah Michelle Gellar is a porn star, and it's just all about, you know, just like weird secretive societies and paranormal things and, you know, burnt out cops. And it's ambitious as hell. It's worth watching. I mean, it's so overblown and just, you know, just the guy went for it. And some of it works, but it's just admirable, like how he just kind of, you know, just took it and just ran with it. And it's funny, whenever I think of like horror adjacent or anything adjacent, I always think of like in Los Angeles, whenever I would be looking for apartments in the millions of years I lived there, there would always be these places, Beverly Hills adjacent, and that you knew that meant it was a piece of shit. It was like, yeah, adjacent to Beverly Hills. It's like, that could be anywhere. It certainly isn't Beverly Hills. I wouldn't want to live in Beverly Hills anyway. But and speaking of horror, a horror adjacent event that happened to me, I had to do some community service way back in the day. I was probably 16, and I was actually working at a rest home to fulfill the service, and I was wheeling this one, you know, old lady back to her room. I was kind of passing the nurse's station at the time, and then she said to me, "Are you going to give me an F-U-K?" And I was just like, "What in the hell?" You know, and I kind of, and they were like, "Oh, Gladys." And I just kind of wheeled her into a room and kind of just pushed it and then walked away. I mean, I hadn't had a F-U-K yet, and I certainly wasn't going to start with her, but it was just like seared into my brain. And then a couple more movies, and then we will fade to black on this episode. Speaking of fade to black, there's a 1980 movie with Dennis Christopher, actually, directed by Vernon Zimmerman. I don't know why I used to watch this a lot when I was younger. I don't know if it was on HBO or something, but he plays like a movie buff who's like, you know, struggling in life. And then he kind of mimics these old Hollywood characters when he's like killing people. Like, you know, he's like Jimmy Cagney or Richard Widmark. And so he's got all these like, you know, top of the world, ma. You know, he steals all these lines from movies. It's weird. I'm not sure if it's even available. It's probably on VHS and stuff. But yeah, it's not great. But for some damn reason, I watched the hell out of it when I was younger. So we will wrap this up with a few movies with the great character actor Tom Atkins. He was in Richard Donner's Lethal Weapon, 1987. You know, he kind of is a minor character in it. But yeah, obviously Mel Gibson and Danny Glover are the leads. But there's a great moment where Tom Atkins is talking to Danny Glover, and then Gary Busey kind of flies in this helicopter behind him and shoots Tom Atkins. And Tom Atkins is actually drinking eggnog at the time, and the bullets go through his back, through the eggnog carton, and then like the eggnog starts like leaking out. Oh, it's totally amazing. It's an amazing shot. And also Tom Atkins is in Halloween 3, which is kind of the non-Michael Myers version of Halloween. It's called Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace. Tom Atkins kind of uncovers this plot by this weird small-town mask maker. Silver Shamrock Masks is the company. And this guy is like, you know, designing these masks to basically, they get triggered by this commercial that he makes. And then like when the kids put the mask on Halloween, they'll like all die. So he's got some like devious plot, and he, Tom Atkins, you know, starts to figure it out. It's pretty, I don't know, I kind of dig it. And there's this great commercial in the movie from Silver Shamrock, and it's like, you know, as it gets closer to Halloween, it's like, you know, the days keep getting closer, but like one of them, you know, the one I remember is like, 8 more days to Halloween, 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 8 more days to Halloween, Silver Shamrock. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And then we can end with a surefire crowd pleaser, pretty under the radar. It's like a zombie comedy frat boy college movie. I completely love it. It's 1986's Night of the Creeps, directed and written by Fred Decker. It's with Tom Atkins, Jill Whitlow, who I just was in love with, and Jason Lively is kind of the male lead who played Rusty in 1985's National Lampoon's European Vacation. Which I don't love that movie, but I love the part where Chevy Chase is like driving through the roundabout in England, and he can't get over in the lane, so he's stuck there. And like at the very beginning, he's driving around, he's like, "Hey kids, Big Ben Parliament," and then it like cuts like later, and then it cuts like nighttime, and they're asleep. He still can't move over. He still can't drive over in the lane, and he's just like, "Big Ben Parliament." No one like gives a shit anymore. But yeah, this Night of the Creeps is amazing. It's like just well shot. It's just totally fun, and it kind of just the director actually Fred Decker. He wrote some other stuff later and earlier, but his big kind of big budget thing, RoboCop 3, just flopped, and that kind of took him out of the business for a while. Still does stuff occasionally. He kind of wrote the more recent The Predator with Shane Black, but yeah, he just. I don't know. I always thought he was talented as hell. And Tom Atkins is like this kind of burnt out detective trying to solve what's going on in this little, you know, college town. And one of his catchphrases is "thrill me." It's like every time he picks up the phone or something, he's like, "thrill me." And another clever kind of in the know line in the movie is like after some zombie shit happens, he's like, you know, "is this a homicide or a bad B movie?" But the classic line when the guys are starting to show up at the sorority house. And, you know, they're zombies. They're, like, you know, lurching onto the lawn and coming towards them. And they're, you know, skeletons and gross and all this shit. And Tom Atkins is kind of looking out the window. And he's like, well, I've got some good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here. And then one of the girls is like, what's the bad news? And Tom Atkins goes, they're dead.